Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks so much for being with us once again. It's a beautiful Thursday evening here in Massachusetts, and we're going to have some fun with our guest, Michael Eager, who is a health coach. And Michael will be on with us in a few minutes, but first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And this week, a great soul crossed over, Maya Angelou, who, if you don't believe that one person can make a difference, you can look at the life of somebody like Maya Angelou and know that one person certainly can influence many, many, many people in so many different ways. And people know her from later in her career when she was a noted writer and poet and civil rights leader. But one of the things that's coming up this week with all of the stories about her and her life is information about her earlier life, about her childhood. And so I also found a quote, and it seems appropriate to talking about how she became who she became. And she said, "We delight in the beauty of the butterfly, but rarely admit the changes that it has gone through to achieve that beauty." And most people don't know what happens when a worm changes into a butterfly. You know, we know about the cocoon, and they go in the cocoon, and you figure, yeah, they grow wings. The worm gets wings, and it's a butterfly. No. What happens is the animal that goes into that cocoon turns into primordial gel, basically turns into goop, with all of the DNA and other things it needs to become a butterfly, and then starts over and becomes the winged, beautiful butterfly, which also needs to break a hole in that cocoon when it's ready and struggle out, because the struggle of getting out of the cocoon is what squeezes the moisture out of a butterfly's wings. If you try to help a butterfly by cutting the opening when they're struggling to get out, they will never fly and they'll die. So the struggle is part of the process. And boy, is this a metaphor for walkabout or what? So Maya Angelou grew up in the South during the Jim Crow years after the Civil War, but it was still a horrible situation for Black people. And the worst thing that happened to her in her childhood was actually done to her by a family member. When she was 7 years old, her mother's boyfriend at the time brutally raped Maya. And she managed to tell her brother, and then she became mute. The trauma made her mute, and she did not talk for 5 years. And during that 5 years of going within, she read incessantly. She became very focused on observing everything in the world. And trauma victims always notice things that other people don't know. And when she was about 12 years old, a very special teacher realized how wonderful this child was and helped her come out of her shell, come out of her cocoon, and saw her talents for her interest in reading and her talents for writing. And that was the beginning of the direction that Maya went in. But along the way, she was a singer. She supported herself singing and dancing in nightclubs. She was a single mom who supported herself with all kinds of jobs. She choreographed. She wrote plays. She had a whole incredible range of creative endeavors that she was involved in before she wrote the many, many wonderful books and poems that we all know now. So, again, we delight in the beauty of the butterfly, but rarely admit the changes it has gone through to achieve that beauty. And Maya Angelou was a great soul who achieved great beauty and affected many, many people. And it was an honor to be affected by her while she was here. So thank you, Maya. And I know she's where she needs to be, because I checked, because that's one of the things I do. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And tonight's guest is Michael Eager. Michael, thank you so much for being on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio.
I thank you for having me.
A pleasure. And you're a local guy. You live not far away from me. So it's always fun when it's not, my guest isn't someone on the other side of the world or the other side of the country. You're a health coach, and you have your own very important walkabout personal story of what you went through and what you learned, which you now carry into the work that you do. So can you tell us a little bit about the struggles that went on when you were a child and what you went through?
Well, I'm not sure if you can hear it on my voice, but I'm not a natural public speaker. And that's because when I was young, I couldn't hear properly. And that was just one of the many symptoms that we were trying to figure out. And so we went through the process of doctor hunting because no doctor really could cure me. And we, I remember doctors yelling at me and my mom for questioning the wisdom and everything. And it was just frustrating. So we turned on to food out of no better options, and that's where we started to get results. And this was in the 80s, so the gluten-free craze wasn't there yet. You know, the only milk sensitivity was lactose, but right. I was allergic to the lactose. I was allergic to something else. Corn was just starting to get in all of our food, and I was getting sensitive to that. And I'm sure I had other sensitivities as well as those, but focusing on the common ones, I really improved my health. Now,
go ahead.
What?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So I realized I was too young at that time to realize what we were doing. And as I grew up, you know, you get busy, you start going back to the ways of convenience, and you find yourself in a place you don't want to be. And I woke up one day just before my 30th birthday. I'm like, I really don't want to go out. And I just had that sense something was wrong. It was almost a premonition. And on the way home from my friend's house, I woke up in a massive car crash. I had no memory of it. And all I remember is opening my eyes in Hartford Hospital, which isn't too far from where we are right now. And I saw all the doctors, all the nurses, the cop, and everyone telling me what I did. And all that gave me comfort was looking up and seeing drop ceiling, because no version of heaven or hell has something as ugly as drop ceiling.
That's an interesting perspective.
Well, I'm not in heaven, I'm not in hell. It's ugly. It's functional. No greater power is going to create something that ugly.
So you were driving and you had this crash because you passed out?
Well, that's the thing. We don't know what exactly happened. What I hit was a broken down FedEx truck. It was a tandem trailer going in I was going down I-91 north, right past the Windsor Cinema, and there's a dip. And right after the dip, I believe the truck was broken down, and right behind me was a full-size van. So needless to say, I was the meat in the collision sandwich.
Mm.
And so I survived it. I actually survived. When you realize that when you hit a stopped object at greater than 75 miles an hour, and then you're rear-ended by a full-size van, and you're walking like 5 days, there's some reason for it.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So keep going. You're okay. 30 years old. You had this horrible accident.
Before my 30th birthday. And, you know, you go out of it, and you're like, no matter how depressed you were before the collision, you have a little new sense of purpose. And it took me about maybe 3 or 4 years after that collision for me to really start to dial in that purpose. Because what I tried to do was work the same jobs that made me unhappy and unhealthy before, because that's when I knew what to do. And it wasn't until I met a couple friends that gave me the courage to basically start to listen to myself. And when I started to listen to myself and started to have confidence of the purpose that was developing in me and following it, I realized that I could keep going farther and farther, and my resources, my happiness, everything was better. And I couldn't understand it because I was taking greater risks. I felt like I was spending more money. Yet when you looked at my bank account, I had money to pay the bills, where before, when I had a huge savings account and doing jobs I disliked, I could watch my statement, a couple thousand dollars go down every month. And it was just because I was out gallivanting, trying to find happiness where there was none, and trying to fill it by going out, drinking, partying, and it was just empty. So, when I started to hit the reset button, I started to focus on my health again. And when I started to focus on my health again, I had a lot of symptoms at that stage. I mean, with the car crash, I had sleep apnea. I started to show signs of diabetes like my father. All my joints hurt like my mom. I knew that gout was a possibility. Heart trouble was a possibility because my dad already had it. And my chest was already hurting at that time. I was a mess. And I actually had to hire a professional myself to hit the reset button. And when I did, it just clicked. Because all of a sudden, I started to remember everything I forgot from my childhood. And I started to feel happier, and I started to have more energy, and my mood started to improve, and everything. I started learning salsa up in Hadley, all by you. And mm-hmm. Next thing I knew, I'm like, I would have more encouragement, because now I'm like, I want to look good in the clothes I'm wearing, because now that I'm starting to understand body language and everything else, and doing all these little changes to my life. And then, you know, each change I did encouraged me to make more improvements. I went and saw a conversation coach, because I'm not sure if you know this, but I'm still a geek, okay? And in our neck of the woods, I'm not from the college town, but I always I went to the Doctor Who events and the anime events and hanged out with the computer guys and all the. And one thing you know about geeks, or one thing most people notice about geeks, is they lack social skills. So I worked on my social skills as well. And so I made all these little changes. And next thing you know, I'm like, I started to amass more knowledge and started to realize as people started to ask me why I was happier, okay, or how I lost the weight, I was giving advice. And
you lost a lot of weight.
I lost 77 pounds in 6 months.
Yeah, which is amazing.
I mean, it's no big deal. Now that I know how to do it, I can repeat it reliably. I'm not saying everyone's going to lose 77 pounds in 6 months. Let's say you lose 1 to 5 pounds a week. That's still reliable, safe, and I can repeat that over and over again.
Well, we'll talk more about your methods and, you know, your suggestions for people, but continue your story.
Okay. Which part do you want to hear about next?
Well, first of all, you said you hired a professional. So what kind of professional really helped you with that initial change for yourself?
Actually, it was a lady by the name of Leanne Mills. She lived in Oregon. And a friend and mentor said, try this company. And it was, I mean, wasn't anything special. It was one of those structured meal plan arrangements. But the thing about this company that was different was you actually had support. And when I started to realize how easy it was just following a system and getting results, I just took it from there. And, you know, when I was in high school, I was like 95 pounds. So when I, at my heaviest, I was 197 pounds.
Wow.
So I doubled my weight from high school. And so, of course, the girls all said my best weight was around 130. So I got down to 137. I got down to about 137-ish. I'll tell you, the best time of my life was when I started to go shopping for new clothes. Okay. you don't understand how freeing it is when you're like, I can wear that. I can do this. I can start building a new style around my new me and get advice from friends, experts, whatever. It's now fun to shop. And because with the new health, with the new body, with the new mental outlook for life, with the ability, and I was just at that time starting to use more positive language because the positive language started to come after the weight loss. But now, and the thing is, all I just felt was a freedom and a happiness and, you know, everything works better when your body parts don't rub together. Okay? I mean, I remember Googling Spanx for men, liposuction. I had some really crazy strategies to hide my fat. I wore dress shirts about an inch and a half bigger than I should, but bought them in athletic cut. So they tapered down to hide my gut, but were narrow in the waist. So it kind of gave me that hourglass shape or that triangular shape that is so appealing, but I was sicker. And the thing is, the moment people looked at my neck and a wobble, you know, that little area underneath your chin, between your chin and your Adam's apple. Well, mine went away. It was just like, a round, a quarter circle, and the cheeks were puffy. And you know, I was in my mid-30s, so I was afraid that I would have a little sag, and when I, the way I did it, the way I did the weight loss, it made my skin really tight, and that was truly amazing, because you always go out and you see, I see some people that lose weight in a less than healthy way, mm-hmm. and you can see how much loose skin they have.
Right.
And you're like, oh, I didn't get that. What did I do different?
And, well, Finn, I want to get back to what you did differently and what your system is, but finish the story, because it sounds like there was more to the adventure.
Well, yeah, so anyway, so after I started getting people asking me for advice, I started to show some results with them. I started to read more, listen to podcasts like programs like your own. I also started to listen to, I started to get information from triathletes and doctors. Right now, in the past year, I added three chiropractors and one nutritionist to my network. That's just huge. And these are mm-hmm. people now I consider my peer. I can call them up and say, I got interest in case. Can you help me? And they can help me with food sensitivities, nutrition, body alignment. I got yoga instructors that I'm friendly with that I can ask questions about body mechanics. And I think what really happened that really hit it on the head is I got a friend, Amy DeWizowitz, and she actually, we just met once as friends, and we sat down and had a conversation. And in that one conversation, she said a few things that just basically made me throw all caution to the wind and jump deep in. And sometimes you have to put it on. I can't remember exactly what she said, but it was basically she gave me permission to put it all out on the line and make a lifestyle change and just listen to my gut.
Mm-hmm.
And also, she was the one that she was the first person that I could dramatically see the power of the language she used.
So she really gave you a different way of looking at things and also a different way of talking about things.
Well, it was less that she gave me away. She kind of confirmed what I was afraid to believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have that gut feeling that I should be doing something different. I should
right.
be doing this, but you're afraid. And you have all these distractions that deal with your fears.
Yep.
And then you have to basically go through the process of first figuring out what you really, really want to do. And
well, I hate to interrupt you, but what we really, really have to do is take a break in a minute.
Right.
I want to make sure that everybody knows how to find you on the web. What's your website?
Yeah, Michael Eager Health Coach. That's you spell Eager, E-G-E-R. I come up on the search engine pretty easy, so you can just Google me.
Fantastic.
And I'm also building Eager to Be Healthy, but that's not 100% live yet.
Okay, fantastic. So we're here with Michael Eager, Health Coach, and we will be back shortly, unless we get taller. Don't go nowhere. This is the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. Stay with us.
My My sport is football, but my passion is education. My name is Nnamdi Asamoah, and this is how I live United. I see too many kids miss out on moving up. Kids who could go on to college, but just need that extra little push. So every year, I take promising high school students on a college tour. We check out the dorms, the library, meet some professors, find out where the best late night grub stops are. It shows them that there's a whole world beyond their own. But what's even better is that most of these kids decide college is for them. I'm Nnamdi Asamoah. I show kids that a higher education means a brighter future. So when it comes to living United, I don't just wear the shirt, I live it. Join me.
It takes all of us working together to make a difference. Find out how you can live United for Education. Give, advocate, volunteer. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
A bright future starts with a healthy lifestyle.
Pinocchio, I'm a real boy!
Good nutrition and physical activity are fuel for your child's mind and body.
Now you're talking!
And the food pyramid will help you find the right balance of everything you and your child need. Grains, vegetables, fruits, oils, milk, and meats and beans.
Nothing can stop me now.
Just remember, smart choices from every food group, along with the right amount of physical activity, can put everyone on the path to better health.
Look, the wishing star.
You don't have to make a wish for a healthier you to come true. Just eat right.
Here's an apple.
Be active.
Come on, I'll race you home.
And make it balance.
Attaboy, Pinocchio.
A healthy lifestyle can lead to great things for you and your child. Visit MyPyramid.gov to learn more. That's MyPyramid.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chomps through anything. Just put it on and instantly chomp through wood. Hi-ya! Concrete. Hi-ya! Brick walls. Hi-ya! Trees. Hi-ya! Small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars. It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with tonight's guest, Michael Eager, who is a health coach here in Western Massachusetts, which is fun that there's somebody local. And I'm sorry, I kind of interrupted the flow of what you were saying. We had to go to the break. Where were we?
Yep.
I just wanted to pick up where you left off and not chop up the story.
Okay, so I think we were talking about my friend Amy, and she, mm-hmm. how she gave yep. me permission to do everything, and that's what. And I'll tell you that probably was one of the most powerful meetings of all my life. And I'm eternally grateful for her friendship. So, anyway, the thing is, once you start realizing that something what you knew in the beginning was what you should have been doing, you were just afraid, and you and the only thing holding you back is the distractions in your life, and mm-hmm. the distractions tend to be, you know, felt as fear. That's because there's so much you're trying to do at once. And you need to find that direction. So if you first find your purpose, you get rid of everything that's not your purpose. So for me, I got rid of politics. I got rid of working IT. I got out of I got out of a lot of, I got rid of a lot of bad unhealthy friendships. And each time I clarified my universe, my world, I started to realize everything started to get easier. And if, and when you're making a sculpture, you're always chipping away the parts that don't look like the sculpture. Okay.
Right.
When they made David, they started with a rock and they chipped everything that didn't look like a David. And mm-hmm. then they had this beautiful piece of granite. And I guess we have to do that. We have to sometimes feel our passion, really get to grips with what our passion is. And sometimes you're only going to find that passion when you're in a corner, you're running out of resources, it's like, what am I going to do? When you have no money, it's almost, or you know your time's coming up, you get a lot of clarity.
Right.
And when you get that clarity, something amazing happens. You're like, well, I'm already in a situation anyway. I'm just going to go for it, or you run, okay? Luckily, I'm already in a situation, I'm going to go for it. And I have to thank Amy for that.
So at this point, you have a program that you can offer people. Obviously, you're coaching people.
I actually have two programs.
Say again?
I have two programs.
Okay, so why don't you tell us about the two programs you offer?
Well, I have a structured meal plan that is ideally suited for busy professionals that don't have time to cook, or people that need a safe, steady weight loss without many variables. Mm-hmm. Now, that's one plan. That's a plan. I lost about 60 pounds of my weight. But then the last few pounds are what I'm building, I'm calling the Eager to Be Healthy framework. And what Eager to Be Healthy is about, it's not like a diet like paleo or Atkins or being vegan or anything along those lines. It's more like a minimum set of rules. And there are recipes or recipe systems that are compatible with it. So why tend to focus on our ends? First, happiness. Okay, blood sugar, enzymes and digestion, and our lipids, and those are the base things I deal with. And then if you want to do more or less, that's fine. There are certain things we can do to enhance it, but if you're happy, you're going to do things that benefit your health because you feel greater self worth. Okay, and that's why it makes me very different than a lot of my contemporaries, because they're all focused on doing things right. I'd rather you do things 70% right or 80% right, just approved right over what you really did before, as long as you're happy. And so that's very important, because when you're happy, you're going to continue those positive changes. Enzyme nutrition is very big, because if you have food sensitivities, a lot of people have them because their body didn't produce the proper enzymes to digest the foods in the first place, or they worked themselves too hard and they didn't properly nourish their bodies, that they are struggling to produce the digestive enzymes in older life. And through my reading, I find that most people start to exhaust their surplus enzyme potential in their late 20s, mid-30s. Mm. And so it's really not your metabolism slowing down, it's your ability to properly digest food. And when you're struggling to digest food, one of the things your body will do as as a last resort to try to process the nutrients from your food is dump in a lot more stomach acid. And it will keep, your body will keep on dumping in stomach acid into your body when there's undigested food. So quite accurately, indigestion is a proper term, because that burning feeling in your esophagus is because your stomach is filled with digestive juices and it's starting to eat away at your walls, and that's not a good thing. Also, right. when you have good enzyme nutrition, you're going to utilize a lot more of your nutrients, and you'll need fewer supplements. And this is something most people, the cell vitamins, do not want you to know, because if you're taking selling supplements is big money, and if I give you this product that will help you digest the food you need, you're eating, so you can get greater nutrition from it, so you need fewer supplements, well, that's going to hurt my profit line. So I'm not going to talk to you about enzyme nutrition. It's all baloney. You need these vitamins, okay? And I take some vitamins now, but much less than did in the past, because now I digest my food better. And then we focus on lipids, and the lipids come from the quality of protein you eat. So I normally don't encourage people to go organic for most of their foods, because if you go organic for everything, I mean, if you have unlimited funds, go organic 100% of the time. But if money's tight, there are ways to get the benefits of an organic diet, and with just like spending your money on your fats and your proteins. And if you know which fats and proteins to buy, you can, one, get a healthier fat in your body, and help your, and the healthier fats help you burn the fat in your body, but also help you grow your brain, because your brain has a large percentage of your brain is made of cholesterol. You know that stuff they say is bad and they give you all these statins for?
Okay? Yeah.
You know that's actually hurting your brain health, and they have done studies after studies that link dementia and diabetes. Actually, the diabetes typically hits first before the dementia, but also there's other studies that show people with diabetes are more likely to get dementia. And I deal with dementia patients in my other caring for other business, so I can see the direct result of poor diet. And I spent 5 years in healthcare dietary. I know what they feed these guys. I work in direct care with seniors all the time, and I can see the power of the food we give them for their mental health, their attitude, everything. And it's just some really small changes. There are three classifications of fat in my world, okay? And this is the simplification of my lipid strategy. Okay, there are fats you should have cold, and these are your poly and your monounsaturated fats, especially fats with high omega-3s. They should always be eaten raw. And so when you have a salad, please do not go and buy a wishbone. You're going to save money, and you're going to get better results if you make a basic salad dressing out of 2 parts olive oil and 1 part acid, which could be your acid could be your lime, your lemon, your apple cider vinegar. I really like that, especially if it's in a raw state. Or you can do any other acid. You really have some flexibility, and you put that on your salad, and you're going to get much, it's going to help you burn more fat and reduce inflammation if you have those monounsaturated fats in a raw state. Then you go to the other range and the fats I cook in, and those tend to be my saturated fats. So you're dealing with butter, you're dealing with ghee, you're dealing with coconut oil. Coconut oil is my low darling. It tastes great. I mean, duck fat.
I love coconut oil.
Duck fat, pork fat, coconut oil. Coconut oil is right between duck fat and pork fat in taste. And that's all, and that's really all that matters to me. It tastes great. And not to mention, when eat it, I start to feel more, I start to find my, I feel smarter. And that's because I tend to, I'm not, because you're eating fats that are very easily digested and can be transformed into energy. And when you're, when you have healthy amounts of fat in your diet, you're going to crave carbs less.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, when you do the reading and you really come deep into it, it's the insulin is a fat is an energy storage hormone. Your body puts insulin in your body to help get rid of all the excess sugar in your body and then convert it into fat. Because if you have too much sugar in your body, it's bad for your cells. It's bad for your nervous system. It's bad for a lot of things. So your system floods with insulin, and then it takes all that glucose and then transforms it into adipose tissue, which we call fat.
Right.
And then it stores away. And it's always that, and I find it amazing. Every time I go off the wagon and start going, going more to the sweet food, I start realizing my chest pain comes when I'm eating sugar rather than high fat. So I'm listening to my heart. So I'm really not a chemist. I'm not really a doctor. I'm not really a nutritionist. I'm really a mechanic. Okay? So a mechanic goes by instinct. It goes by what they see, feel, touch, and smell. Okay? You don't really need a college education to be a mechanic. In fact, some of the best mechanics I met are high school dropouts, because they run totally on instinct, and they have a great bullshit. They have a great radio for BS, and because they can see BS a mile away. They know to stay away from these really get, you know, yeah, take this fluid, put it in your engine, and all the noise goes away. They know that the noise will go away because, like 3,000 miles down the road, your engine's going to melt.
Right.
Yeah. But, so anyway, getting back to what I'm saying, a lot of what I learned is about listening to how I feel, feeling how I feel, seeing how what my recommendations help other people feel. And when it comes down to it, if you just focus on the quality of your fats, oh, yeah, and the fats you avoid, canola oil, top on the list, soy oil, corn oil. Those three alone, if you can just eliminate those three from your diet. Now, you're going to get trace amounts in your takeout and everything else, and I could be a purist and say you should never eat that stuff, but if you're healthy most of the time, your body can survive those small doses when you occasionally eat out with your friends and family.
So
David, what else do you need to know?
Well, you know, the approach that you're describing sounds very familiar to me, and I'm fascinated with how you put it together. So, you know, I'd love to pick your brain at some point, because there are certainly some more details I want to hear. But one of the things that you mentioned in the materials that I saw was also your emphasis on exercise being fun. Mm-hmm. We have a few minutes left. Talk a little bit about how you see exercise and what you recommend to people.
Okay. The main reason exercise is important is not for weight loss. In fact, if you're unhealthy in the beginning, exercise can work against you. What exercise is really important for is brain health and neuron growth. So I started with salsa dancing. I mean, what's a great way to exercise? I go out, I dance with a bunch of nice girls. They smile at me, I smile at them, and then we both go our separate ways. Walking in a park with your friends, okay? For some people, doing yoga. Exercise should riding gently in a park on a bike. Exercise should never hurt. And if you're hurting yourself, you're creating inflammation. Inflammation goes against weight loss. So the thing is, find things you like to do. It's really important you find things you like to do. Is it playing football? Is it learning to curl? Now I'm talking about the ice thing, not
right.
I mean, I'm picking some strange stuff. Is it learning to salsa dance? Is it taking Tai Chi class? Is it Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? It doesn't matter. As long as there's a huge level of enjoyment from it and you're not causing your body pain. Because I know pain, they say pain is your weakness leaving your body, but it's also a sign of inflammation. And inflammation does not, it runs against living a long, happy, healthy life.
Right.
And so you want to exercise to the point you're enjoying the exercise. You're like, I'm outside, I'm in the sunshine, I'm breathing the fresh air, I hear the birds, I can see the flowers, I can recognize the trees, I can hear the music on my my MP3 player. You're present for the full time you're out there, and it's all about everything else. I mean, one of the best advice was from Wayne Dyer. I think Wayne Dyer was talking about his tennis game, and he's talking about how he plateaus, and you know, you get to a point, and you're always pushing, pushing, pushing to get to the next level, and for some reason you hit a wall. Well, why don't we step back and just be present? So when you swing the ball, when you swing the racket, how does that racket feel in your hand? When you hit the ball, how does the ball compressing into your racket and releasing feel? What does the sound of your feet sound like on a court? If you're present for all that and you're in the moment, your ability is going to follow. And more importantly, you're going to have a great time. And that's more important than anything else. Because happiness is, I mean, we live life, and one of the things we're always pursuing is happiness. Well, why don't we just do things that make us happy and engineer our life to do more of those things and do less of the things that make us unhappy? And
right, exactly.
And it seems so simple.
And, you know, what you're describing is bringing mindfulness to whatever you're doing.
I'm new to this new way of thinking, but I'm trusting my gut, and you might have terms for everything I'm describing, and one of these days I'm going to be a big public speaker, and people are going to pay me Tony Robbins types of money, because they're seeing a guy that truly enjoys life, and all he just wants to do is have a little bit of chocolate and and not feel guilty about it. And
chocolate's good for you. So is coffee.
Chocolate is really great for you, and it makes you smile. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, so if chocolate makes you happy, I'm going to engineer ways that we get chocolate in your diet, especially after we get you into the healthy state.
Right.
And that's very important. Just always finding a little time for the things that make you happy. And when you eat food, okay, if you want cheesecake, okay, have you ever had the low-fat cheesecake?
No, thank goodness.
Okay, have you had low-fat ice cream?
Well, I don't typically eat dairy, so I'm the wrong one to ask.
all right, so I'm just trying to think of an example.
I get it.
Low-fat potato chips. Low-fat potato chips. They taste horrible, okay? Wouldn't it be better to eat something that tastes like food?
Right.
And that's really what it's all about. It's figuring how to keep you healthy so you can eat foods that taste like food and have fun when you're out. And so your exercise time feels like play time. And when you do that, no matter everything you do, just puts a smile on your face. And you want to keep doing it more and more and more.
Well, what a perfect way to end our conversation, because as often happens, we're running out of time.
Well,
there's so much more we could talk about.
So how do we end a conversation like this?
I thank you very much for being on the show. And you give us your website again?
Yes. You can find me at MichaelEagerHealthCoach.com. Once again, that's MichaelEagerHealthCoach.com. Sign up and join my mailing list, and I'll keep you updated with all the new all my new posts and my future podcasts.
Fantastic. Michael Eager is a health coach here in Western Massachusetts. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really, really appreciate it, and this has been fascinating.
Thank you so much, David. I hope to have you on my show pretty soon.
We can do that.
All right.
And for the folks that are listening, if you got curious at all about what this odd guy David does, you can go to househealing.com and check out what I do. And on the contact tab is every conceivable technology to get in touch with me, including my online scheduling calendar. You can set up a 20-minute free consultation to assess whatever the situation is or something going on with a person or a place. And we'll see how my work might be helpful to you. If you're looking for more information or past shows of the Farkas Files, or you want to pass this show along to somebody, you can find them cleverly enough at thefarkasfiles.com. And we're also on iTunes Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and a whole bunch of other streaming radio online locations. So check out everything on Empower Radio. There's some really good people with very good shows. And so what a wonderful evening. Thank you so much for being with us wherever you are in the world, whenever it is that you listen to this. We really appreciate that you make us part of your week, and makes it worthwhile for me. So until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.